Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And a very good afternoon right around Australia for the Saturday Sinbin. Thanks to our mates at King G. We're back for another week and we're taking a look at what's going on around the NRL, obviously. The big date, the return date, how that'll all play out. That's the first thing we'll discuss. But we've got plenty of big guests coming up on the show today. Chairman Mr. Peter Volandis will join us very shortly. Kevvy Walters just after 1 o'clock today. And we're hoping to get hold of Clint Newton to see where he stands in all of this. But let me introduce the expert panel we have with us today. Queensland Rugby League legend live in the studios in Brisbane. Gordy Tallis, we're getting great feedback about your recipes, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, actually. Had a great week, Anthony, doing nothing, but it's good to be here. Good afternoon, everybody.
Okay, we've got plenty to talk about today from NRL 360, which is in a hiatus at the moment, from Fox League. He's all over the place. Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Thanks, Anthony. Nice to be here.
And the great man, Triceps James Hooper, we're going to start with you today, mate. How are you, firstly?
Good afternoon, Anthony. Very good, thank you.
Good to see you keeping fit in the downtime. You can barely fit in that shirt.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah. Yours are sprayed on as well, so just to clarify for the listeners.
All right, let's start with footy before we get stuck into the funny stuff. Now, let me see, Hoops, if I got this right.
That's optimistic.
The heads of NRL and its broadcast partners have met. Hoops, let me see if I got this right. Patrick Delaney from Fox, Hugh Marks from Channel 9 have agreed when we will get underway, that being May 28. We are a little bit shaky and a little bit uncertain as to how that'll play out and when that will end.
Yeah, look, we've got a start date, and that's most important, May the 28th. That's locked and loaded, and they are absolutely steadfastly determined to get the game up and running by then. But in terms of the season structure, still being shaken out. Foxtel clearly wants as many games as possible. They're pushing for a full season, and Channel 9's position is vastly different. They only want 13 more games.
Mm. Well, I think that this is the thing that stands out to me, Hoops, is that when we got into this COVID-19 thing at the very, very start, the first thing we said was we can go through it right through till December if we need to. And now, am I led to believe it's got something to do with this T20 agreement with Channel 9?
That's an element of it, Anthony. Yeah, absolutely. What happens with the T20 World Cup, Channel 9 has the broadcast rights for that event, but there are no guarantees at this point in time. I'd say, what do you reckon, Kenny? It's more unlikely, isn't it, that they'll actually be on?
I think it's virtually gone. No chance. Yeah. I just think it's an excuse by 9 because they don't want to televise it.
Okay. So you think if, Kenny, if the T20 thing does fall over, do you still think Channel 9 will be pushing for that 15 more games?
I still think they'll be pushing for fewer games rather than more, yes. Mm.
Gordon, what about you, mate? Before we get stuck into more of these brass tacks, how's the feeling around Queensland? Obviously, I consider Southeast Queensland to be the rugby league capital of the world, and I guess people are missing their NRL.
Well, why would you consider that?
Well, mate, I think if you look at the way they respond around the Broncos, around State of Origin, when they get a test up there. I'm not a Queenslander. I'm a Sydney boy through and through, a Redfern boy. If you ask me, where's the rugby league capital?
Solid as a tower of jelly,
I'd say Southeast Queensland.
You bag the Gold Coast Titans mercilessly every week, and now you're claiming Southeast Queensland's a home of rugby league.
Well, I'm thinking...
No, guys, I got him a couple of jobs up there. Okay. So I made a couple of surf clubs, mate, along the beach.
Yeah, mate.
He's loving it.
Desperate times.
I'm just...
Oh, mate, I'll drive there. He goes, mate, I'll
of course I'll drive.
They'll break every rule.
I got to make a quid. It doesn't fall into my lap like it does yours. But what is the thought around Queensland at the moment, Gordy?
Yeah, well, I think we're up in the air like everybody else. Obviously, Anastasia, I heard Peter Volandis talk about that he was going to send her the document, the 40 pages or whatever, so hopefully that she can soften on her stance. And then, you know, Paul Green said through the week that, you know, it's tough times, but you know, everybody needs to sort of, you know, take a bit of a... you know, I'm a bit of a hit because, you know, life's not fair and we just got to get on with this. And I'm thinking he's talking about the Cowboys and some guys that, you know, just have new babies and all that kind of stuff. And it's tough times for every player. You know, I'm leaving home, but, mate, we just got to do it. It's simple as that. I think that the three Queensland clubs, if we've got to go live in Sydney, you know, one in all in, I believe.
What do you think? Like, how do you think this will end up, Hoops and Kenty? Hoops, I'll start with you. So the guys you work for, just to be very transparent about that, you guys work at Fox League.
Yep.
Fox League are pushing to have more games, which I think makes absolute sense. We want to see as many club games as we can before we get. We've missed out on a lot. I think the average punter thought we're going to get back on the field, we're going to see a lot more club games. Fox League are right behind that. I love that. how do you think this will end up? Will Channel 9 get their way?
I don't think so.
Good.
I don't think so. I think there'll have to be some give and take. It's a negotiation. Knowing how bullish Peter Volandis is, we heard him yesterday on Channel 9 on the Today Show, and the first thing he says, first thing in the morning, is it's D-Day. The time for talk's over. We need to get this deal done. Kenty, how many games do you reckon it'll end up shaking out
as? I think it's important to remember, I don't know the answer, okay? And that just depends on not only the merit of the negotiation, but the strength of the negotiators, what they eventually decide upon. But I'll just say this. It's not Channel 9's decision where the NRL plays or not. Mm-hmm. And it's not Channel 9's decision, really, how many games they play. Peter Volandis is trying to reach agreement with Nine because of the unusual circumstances. But if the NRL says to Channel 9, we're going to play all 23 remaining rounds, which at one point they wanted to do, and Channel 9 says, well, no, we're only going to televise 17 games or 15 more rounds, okay, then if Peter Lenz wanted to play hardball and says, well, we're going to play the others, and if you don't televise them, that's your decision, then it goes to lawyers, then ends up in court because of broken contracts and the rest of it. Okay, the NRL can play as many games as they deem they want to play. That's the truth of it. Hmm. They want to come to some agreement with Nine, obviously, but if it doesn't, because of the unusual circumstances, it can end up in court. Obviously, it's going to get expensive and messy, but it's the NRL's decision how many games they play. It's not Channel 9's decision. They're trying to work as partners. That's how they describe themselves, work as partners and come to a common agreement. But already Patrick Delaney, as the head of Foxtel, and Hugh Marks are on different pages about what they prefer. Mm. Patrick Delaney's with the NRL. More games you play, the better. This whole thing about the cricket, I don't think the cricket's going to go ahead, okay? But even if it does, you cannot tell me that when Bangladesh play Afghanistan, on a Friday night or whenever it is, and on the same night you've got the Roosters playing Parramatta, that you're going to cost yourself viewers. Like, it's just, people aren't going to watch a lot of these games. Fox Sports also have the Cricket World Cup. Okay, so they're aware of Channel 9's argument. I believe this is more about Hugh Marks and what he said some weeks back when he told his shareholders in an extraordinary admission that if they don't televise rugby league this year, they'll save $130 million. And as a person who's not a rugby league lover, there's no incentive. Channel 9 were always a network from the Kerry Packer days, and then after Kerry Packer, when David Gingell ran the network, that those men themselves had a great affinity with the sport. They loved the sport, and they wanted to see the sport prosper, and they helped the sport prosper. Hugh Marks is not cut from that cloth. He is strictly a businessman, and rugby league is a commodity on his network that costs a lot of money to put on. And therefore, if he can get out of this negotiation with one or two things, by paying less because there's less games to televise, or by paying less because they'll renegotiate the terms, and rather than paying $125 million for the season as they have in past years, they'll pay, say, $80 million or $60 million or something like that. He'll do that. Mm. That's what he'll look to do.
I think, sorry, Gordon.
But in the common sense, right, that if we provide them the service, which is playing as many games as possible, trying to get out the season, we didn't know the coronavirus was going to come. Wouldn't you say, if you're a partner of the game, yes, we will take every game. Don't they have different lines? Is it 9 go or whatever? Mm. Play the cricket on that, or play rugby league on that, and see which. And then you got both sports.
Yeah, but Gordon,
played at the same time, and then you dominate the market, don't you?
Well, you do, Gordon. But my point was more that by paying every week for each round, they pay an amount. If they don't have to pay that at all, they save more money, and that's more his priority rather than splitting his. I think he's using the cricket as an excuse not to pay, which is an excuse that I think the average sporting fan will consider. Whereas if he just comes out and says, look, I'm just not going to pay for rugby league because you're broken.
Paul, it's sort of like that. They're trying to bully the NRL. If you were the boss of the NRL, and it comes time to negotiate next time, would you negotiate with Channel 9? Would you go
I'd negotiate with them. But I would negotiate with them where there's not a lot of love in the room. And it would be strictly a business arrangement, and I'd be looking for greatest commercial advantage from Channel 9. and they would have to pay me a significant sum. Now, like that, that's why I think rugby league's very lucky that we've got Peter Vlandis running the game, because he's up. Yeah. I've got no doubt that if we go back 12 months or 18 months or 2 years, when it's a John Grant, Todd Greenberg combination running the game, that the minute the coronavirus erupted, they would have shut down the game, as everybody was telling the rugby league they should have. The NRL then didn't this time. They played two games before they had shut down. They would have shut down, I believe, they would have shut down the game. And then when everybody said, well, when are you starting up again? They would have said, well, wait until the government tells us it's okay.
Yes.
And everybody would have gone, oh, well, it's hard to argue with that. Mm. And that would have been it. And there was every chance that there would have been no rugby league this season, that some clubs probably would have gone broke, and they would have come through the end of it. The financial crisis that's happening in the league central right now, that we're all aware of because Vlandis has been so honest about things, that would all be covered up. The clubs who are complaining and have finally found voice, we wouldn't be hearing from them. And we'd be getting there till we'd be getting into next season. Three clubs would have gone to the wall, and they would have just said, well, it's not our fault.
Peter Vlandis will be joining us too shortly, by the way. But just coming back to a point that you kind of didn't gloss over, Paul, but it's a point that I think we need to talk about more, because I don't think the average punter understands this bit. You said it's not up to Channel 9. It's not their decision anyway. I mean, we keep hearing they want to do this, they want to do that, but it's not their bloody decision to make.
No, it's NRL's decision to put the season on. Channel 9 has the rights. Their only right is to broadcast free-to-air games. Now, if Channel 9 at some point says, we're not gonna, the competition's put on, and Channel 9 said, well, we're not happy, we're not going to televise that, then the NRL will argue that they've breached their contract, and Channel 9 will argue that it's unusual circumstances, therefore it's no breach, therefore they're allowed to not show the... And it'll end up in court, and I've got no idea how that'll go, Anthony. As I said, I don't want to even entertain the thought. But the NRL, it's the NRL's job to put the season on. It's the NRL's job to decide how many games. That at the moment, they are working in collaboration with Fox Sports and Channel 9. So there's an agreement there. So they don't have to go through the ugly trek of courtrooms and lawyers, and it becomes this long battle. If at some point Channel 9 says, we're only going to televise 17 rounds, and the NRL says, well, we're going to play 20, and so there's three games left over, then that's a decision, because of the anti-siphoning rules, that's a decision then between, well, that's a conversation then between Channel 9 and the government, because Channel 9 might have to forfeit those three games to Channel 7 or Channel 10 or SBS.
Just make them state of origin.
Well, yeah.
No, mate, I'm serious. Just put them on. But then say, well, there's it. Look, I'm sort of... like every rugby league, like I'm frustrated. Everybody loves rugby league. Channel 9's paid so much money for it. Sometimes you got to suck it up, Paul. I think out of the five highest programs they have all year, is rugby league three or four of those for the last?
Yeah, not always. It's generally got two. And last year it didn't. Okay, last year they fell out. They had, I think, one Origin game in there last year, and that was it. The grand final came sixth, which is the first time that's happened in a long time, which is a worrying sign for rugby league.
Well, yeah. In the tent.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll take a break here, boys, if you don't mind. I'll come back. We'll get the chairman of the ARL, Peter Vlandis, on the line and see what he thinks about all this. Paul Kent, Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. It's the Saturday Sin Bin as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. Of course, we recognise and commemorate Anzac Day today. We were all up this morning at 6 o'clock out on the driveway. With everybody in my street, and I know a lot of people were out on the balcony. So wherever you are in Australia, we celebrated, or not celebrated, but commemorated Anzac Day in a very special way, and it was all good just the same. Let's talk a bit of NRL, and we do it thanks to King G. Comfort is king, and King G is made for comfort. Saturday Sin Bin on Triple M Hoops. Kenty, Gordy Tallis, Maroon, about to speak to the chairman of the ARL, a man that's been working tirelessly for the game, Peter Vlandis. Welcome to our show.
Good morning, Anthony.
How are you, my friend? Were you out on the driveway this morning at 6 o'clock? Because I reckon we could excuse you with the workload you've had at the moment.
No, unfortunately, I was still asleep at 6 o'clock, Anthony, I have to confess, because it's been a pretty long week. And
yes.
Any bit of sleep you can get at the moment is very valuable.
I love your honesty, Pete.
Speaking of that long week, Pete, just bring all the listeners up to speed. Where are we up to in terms of the negotiation and the game getting restarted?
Look, all's on target for the 28th of May to recommence. We've got a few little details to finalise with the broadcasters, but hopefully that'll be done next week. We'll come up with a competition structure that'll go back to Project Apollo and to the players and the clubs to ensure that everyone's comfortable with it. At this stage, what's definite, I guess, is that the State of Origin will be played at the end of the season. I think that's a decision that that will be made. But the rest of the competition structure will be determined early next week.
Pete, the negotiations with Channel 9 and Fox Sports at the moment, Foxtel at the moment, obviously I was just talking on air and just said that ultimately it is the NRL's decision to come together and put the games on. Is there a risk that you might actually say to 9, well, look, you're after this amount, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to put, you know, say 20 games on rather than 17 that 9 would prefer?
Look, you're 100% correct, Paul. The decision on the competition structure is entirely the NRL's. And however, when you have two important partners that provide 70 to 80% of your revenue, you certainly have to engage with them and you try to satisfy them as much as you can, because it's not only for now, it's well into the future. As I say, they're probably our prime partners, and as a good partner, you sit down and you listen to them, but ultimately the decision rests with the NRL, and we will make that decision in consultation with the players and the clubs. So, but I've got to say, I think there'd probably be some misreporting in some regards. Channel 9 have been exceptionally amicable in the negotiations, as has Fox. They've always been held in good spirit and good faith, so I can't fault them at the moment.
What's the hold-up then? If things are good, why did you not come to a decision yesterday?
Because we needed some further information, which affects both broadcasters, not just the one broadcaster, and that's... Yeah, and that should be stressed, that the reason the decision wasn't made yesterday was that the length of the season would affect both broadcasters.
Because of the T20 World Cup.
There's other sporting events that are on those periods of time, but there's also other factors that come into account, and we just needed a bit more time. I would have liked to have made the decision on Friday, but you have to be sensible. You don't cut your nose to spite your face. I think the extra days were necessary, and we've got plenty of time. There's still 5 weeks before the 28th of May. But what was important yesterday is that we had a commencement date, the 28th of May. Both broadcast partners are 100% behind us on the 28th of May. So, it's all systems go to get to the 28th of May. There's still a lot of hurdles to overcome. It's not going to be an easy path to that date. But at least we know we've got a target date and we'll do everything we can to get there.
I'm talking about a target date. Do we have a new target on you getting a new 2IC or a new boss coming in to help you?
Look, our focus at the moment, Gordon, is on recommencing the season and the cost structure of the game. The cost structure of the game at the moment is not sustainable, and it was going to be a train crash at some point in time. The coronavirus has just brought it forward. So we need to focus on getting the game going, securing the revenues from the broadcasters, and then looking at the cost structure. That has to be done now. We can't wait 3 or 4 months when a new CEO comes in. So that's our focus. I'm going to take my time with the new appointment of a new CEO, because I think our priority at the moment is to get the game started and to get the cost structure down, and then we'll focus on the CEO.
Peter, obviously, I know you have to take your time in getting the right person as the CEO, but obviously the game is very impatient as to who it'll be. I'm constantly asked who I think it'll be. Hoops is too. Gordy is too. Maroon, not so much. Can I just ask you, is there a preference there for to get someone from within the game or someone who has got an experience outside the game?
Look, as I said, Paul, I haven't really given it much thought. My preference at the moment is to back Andrew Abdo, who's the interim CEO. He has done a lot of hard work in his time in the last 6 years. He's responsible for a lot of the revenues that the game has generated, the new revenues outside broadcast. He's also an integral part of the broadcast negotiations. He's a very good commercial operator, and he will be crucial in the next 3 or 4 months when we're looking at this cost structure. And what I found in life is, in anyone that can come through a crisis and can handle a crisis, handle the stress of it, is a pretty good operator. So this is a good test for Andrew, and this will determine some of our thinking moving forward.
Pete, I was a little bit taken aback and surprised this week when Clint Newton came out and suggested that May 28 wasn't a rock solid locked and loaded date, and that, you know, we needed to still wait to get further advice from the medical experts and biosecurity experts and all that sort of thing, essentially suggesting that it was a little bit premature to be trumpeting that date. What did you make of that?
Look, Clint prosecutes his case for the players, and he may have had some players that have expressed concern. But look, in my opinion, we should all be sticking together internally. We've got enough external battles to worry about with the many critics that are out there and the ones that are using alarmist rhetoric and scaremongering. We need, as a code and as a game, to stick together in the trenches at all times. But in saying that, I understand Clint's got a job to do, and I respect that. And Clint's a very good operator, and I've got a lot of time for him. So we'll certainly have discussions next week and hopefully satisfy some of his concerns.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Pete? Because you'd think at this time, like you guys in there at the NRL, of particularly yourself, to be honest, you've lobbied government in two countries, three states, to get the game going. You're now having high pressure talks with the two broadcasters to get it all up. The last thing the game needs is when it's all finally, all the ducks are in a row, is for the players to say, well, we're not happy about coming back yet.
Look, I think that the players and Clint have been most cooperative and most enthusiastic. This was just a very rare moment. I don't think there's been anyone as supportive as the players or Clint. So, look, I'm sure that this is a thing for the past, and let's look towards the future.
What about the Origin, Pete? It's at the end of the season now. How does that how does that play out?
Well, there's two reasons for it to be at the end of the season. One is there's a possibility we'll have crowds, and we may have not the crowds of a normal State of Origin, but a limited crowd with social distancing. And there's a few, there's a few ideas we have in rewarding the emergency workers, and that came from one of the TV stations, which I think is a very good idea. There's another one where we put people on an app, and if you're a really hardcore supporter and you can stay at home for 14 days and isolate yourself, and we track you on the app, that you can go to the game. So there's a few things that we can do in that period of time. But for me, it's also on the integrity and the authenticity of the competition. Because there's less rounds that will be played, no matter where we land on the rounds, there will be still less than what it has been in previous years. Mm. And you want to leave the player roster for the clubs to be able to compete to get into the finals. Mm. By having the State of Origin mid-season with less rounds, those teams that provide the majority of the players will be at a disadvantage. Mm. So in order to make it credible and authentic, I think that's one of the reasons that really drove me to having them at the end of the year, is to give every club every opportunity to make the finals.
Well, on that, one of the big discussions about this whole resumption of the competition and how many rounds is played is the fact that I think the Roosters have been quite vocal that they need, they believe there should be more rounds to make it a fairer competition, because the integrity of competition has suffered somewhat by being shortened, which obviously makes the teams who have got no competition points, it makes it more difficult for them to make the finals in a shortened competition. And that impacts in a number of ways. First, the Roosters looking for three in a row are going to be impacted, because it's going to be very difficult for them in a shortened competition to make it in the top four. Second part of that is the other sides who haven't won a game yet, like the Warriors and the Titans, and probably aren't expected to do much. There's a fear that they might essentially put the queue in the rack earlier than normal, given that the season might be over earlier than normal. Is that a legitimate complaint, and is that being considered when you guys talk about the length of the competition?
Extremely valid. Everything you've said is spot on. And that's why we want a longer, more rounds. And, as I said, the competition's got to be credible and authentic. And you need to give every team every opportunity to make the finals. And I think the Roosters have got a very good point in having as many games as we can. So that's certainly been in the mix and the decision-making process, no doubt about it.
Is there a chance then, if Hugh Marks digs his heels in and says, okay, well, we'll give you 15 more rounds and that'll make it a 17-round competition, four-week final system, grand final October 4, which then doesn't impact on all the programming after that, because that was the original date for the grand final. If he refuses to budge on that, what chance is it that you guys will override that and say, no, well, we're going to play longer, and Hugh, you're going to have to either put the games on yourself or sell them to another free-to-air network?
Now, to be fair to Hugh, and he's copped some unwarranted criticism, he always respects that we make the final decision. He'll accept what decision we make. No problem at all. Channel 9 will telecast whatever decision we make. But as a broadcast partner and as a vital component of our game, you have to respect their views and you have to take their views into account. They're running a pretty serious commercial operation. Their revenues are significantly down because of the virus. A good partner helps another partner at that time. So we're giving the respect to the broadcast partners. And it's just not Channel 9. The senior partner in this whole thing is Fox. Mm. And, we're trying our hardest to do everything we can to assist Fox because they're the ones that provide the most revenue to the game. But the time has come to make a decision. We've had various meetings. We've listened. And as I said, the meetings have all been held in very good faith, high spirit. There's never been an argument. So I don't think that there'll be any problem, whatever decision the NRL makes, that the broadcasters, they'll be there and ready and willing to go.
All right, Pete. Well, good to catch up with you, mate. You've cleared a few things up there, and hopefully we can talk to you again in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
There he is, Peter Vallandis, the chairman of the ARL, joining us on the Saturday Sin Bin here with Kenty Hoops, Gordy Tallison, Maroon. Hoops, he did clear up that thing about Origin and why we would have Origin at the end of the year. It makes sense with a smaller competition or a shortened competition.
Yeah, I really like that concept as well that Peter's just outlined about how emergency workers and potentially other people who are making sacrifices at the moment and working hard and trying to do their bit to get the country up and going, get an opportunity to potentially attend those games. That would be massive as well.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Great idea. Look, this is some of the, I think, inspired thinking that's coming out of unusual circumstances. Getting some crazy ideas coming out as well, but some good ideas going along. A couple of your ideas being a bit mad,
well,
Maroon.
The couple of the crazy ones, Kenty, are still around where we should send the players. Centennial Park, Manus Island, Wedding Cake Island,
Christmas Island,
Gilligan's Island. This is all the things we saw. Yeah. I want to know, though, Hoops, is
the Bathurst. The skipper and Mariana got a problem with Gilligan's Island.
I used to like Ginger on the old day.
I don't need to hear that.
Gilligan's
Seriously,
Island.
Seriously, like, you always got to go there. Seriously.
Go there. Well, just mean,
like, seriously, just get back to footy, please. Right.
Sorry about that. But me and you, Hoops, were planning a trip in the Camaro to the Bathurst 1000. Is that going ahead this year? That's what I want to know.
Good question. Is Bathurst on? What's going on there?
Slow trip to Bathurst in the Camaro, though.
Oh, come on, mate. Come on, mate.
Hey, Anthony, I've been sitting here just waiting for the poll. I've been waiting for your poll.
Oh, okay. Righto. Well, I tell you what.
Is it a poll?
There is a poll this week. We were going to, we ummed and ahed about it. And
Bathurst won't go ahead.
Bathurst won't go ahead.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a shame.
At the moment, anyway.
Well, mate, me and you'll go for a
drive. Isn't there only one person in a car?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Gordon.
Good point.
Yeah, good point, Gordon. But
very good point.
You ever seen the people? He can't get out and change his own tyres, Gordon.
No, but those blokes have helmets on and fire suits.
No, but, well, look, Gordon, all right.
I'm just letting you know that they've got full masks on and stuff like that.
You know what they need to do, the supercars? I'll tell you what they need to do. Get Peter Vallandis on the case. There'll be a bloody car race in Bathurst next week. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about who might replace Todd Greenberg as CEO. Have a little chat about that. And the segment everybody is talking about globally during the pandemic, Maroon's Trivia Night live on the Saturday Sin Bin here at Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome back on this special Anzac Day edition of the Saturday Sin Bin. Thanks to our mates at King G. Still to come, we've got more special guests. The Car Wash King of Brisbane, Kevy Walters, comes on after one to talk a little bit of footy with us. We'll talk about the Queensland Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, and see where she's at with all this business about State of Origin. But look, right now, obviously, earlier on the week, we saw the resignation of the CEO of the NRL, Mr. Todd Greenberg. Before I open it up to the fellas, here is what Todd said when interviewed by me old mate Michelle Bishop on Channel 7.
It's a great time. We're walking with my family, my dogs. I don't think I've ever been happier. It's been a great journey, as I've said. I've had a lovely time working in the NRL.
No regrets?
None whatsoever. Loved every single minute of it.
Yeah, there he is, Todd Greenberg. I suppose the drums were beating pretty loudly earlier on in this year. And we wish him all the very best now, Todd Greenberg, with whatever he does. But, boys, I wanted to open the discussion.
A bit of an uppercut for the game, though, wasn't it?
Well, I've never been happier.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wouldn't you be happier still running the NRL?
Did you think it was? Do you think it was a bit sarcastic, Gordy? The lovely time.
No, it was political spin. That's what it was. Yeah. Like, seriously, come on.
Was it?
We boys in the area.
Never
of...
Never been happier. Please.
We just spoke to the boss, the chairman, who says he likes Andrew Abdo, who's the man that's probably the front runner for the job. Let's start with your somebody you know a little bit about here, Gordon. Tell us, Paul White from the Broncos.
Yeah, I said the other day no. Simply because I don't think a boss can come from clubland. There's 16 tribes and they're, you know, pretty vicious, I think, the NRL, and we all fight over that one prize. And if someone comes out of clubland like Todd, I think there's 15 other guys that probably get, you know, I'm a little bit jealous whether they think that they're running the club better or just because he's got the biggest castle that he's sitting on, it doesn't mean that he's a better CEO. So I think for the game, someone like Andrew Abdo that can sit and doesn't have a face and commercially is brilliant, well, you've got Peter Vellantis there that's going out there, you know, rallying the troops and getting them behind him. I think that, you know, the new CEO can be all about the business. I'm not a firm believer that he's got to know a lot about rugby league because all the blokes that know rugby league aren't very successful businessmen, and we've all watched them try to, you know, cross over in the business, and they can't do it. So if I was making the decision, I'd make sure that commercially that he's got a brain, that he can drive this game forward and make sure that it's sustainable moving forward in the next 5, 10, 15 years and give us a plan. But and probably the alarming thing for Paul White is before all this broke about a month before, he put his hand up, you know, to get re-signed at the Broncos, and they haven't jumped through hoops to re-sign him.
Mm.
And then when your chairman goes, oh, mate, he'd be great for that job, it's not, you know, it's not the best recommendation when you're chairman, because if he's that good, you want to sign him and keep him. So I don't think Paul White or anybody from clubland is good enough.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree. I think it's, I'll say this, I think it's a really sad state of affairs that people within the game don't trust other people within the game to run it because of, they may be compromised. We've allowed ourselves to get in such a state where so many little deals get done around the clubs, particularly between clubs and managers, that it somehow compromises some people when they get the name tossed up for the big job. And that, and look, I'm talking in a little bit smoke and mirrors here because I don't want to defame anybody.
Managers have it over CEOs.
Managers have it over CEOs because of all the shonky third-party deals.
Mm. Absolutely.
And not every CEO. I won't say it's every CEO.
No.
But and I won't say it's every manager.
No.
But there's a lot of things that get brought up in this way, and it's sad that we so poorly police the third parties and the hidden payments and all that,
yep,
that now that any time somebody's name comes up, there's an immediate suspicion about it. And that's the one thing that whoever comes in for this new job, whoever it is, has really just got to come in with integrity as the key to the position.
Absolutely. And he's got to be able to rule with an iron fist when he has to, Paul.
Yeah.
And you can't do it if you've got skeletons in your closet.
Correct. See, Dave Smith, when Dave Smith came in from the banking industry and he had no idea, I Benji had Barber. Faith. Yeah, he didn't know Ben Barber. You called him Benji Barber. But I had a bit of faith that Dave Smith could have done a good job. Where I believe Dave Smith went wrong was he came in and immediately didn't trust anybody that was already working in the building. So he began to move those along and then he replaced those people with people who didn't know what they were doing either. Didn't know... who's who in the zoo, so to speak, in clubland and all that sort of thing. So suddenly the head office became very naive and didn't really know what they were dealing with in certain cases. They were very innocent in some instances. And the whole thing just started to collapse. And rather than Dave Smith recognise that I remember Dave Smith talking to me once about John Brady, who used to run the communications, the media department at the NRL, and had a very good relationship and was very good at managing the message. This is what the NRL's done. And you'd often be working hoops and you'd know this. Brady would ring you up later in the day and he'd say, what do you think of this morning's press conference? What are you leading with? And if your angle or whatever you're writing about jarred with him, he would say, oh, well, let me just background you on a couple of things here. And he'd give you some background that would then, I suppose, not change your thinking, but give you a fuller picture of things.
Mm.
And he was very good at that. But then when, and he moved John Brady on, and by the time, and John Brady said, well, look, I'll serve out the rest of my time, which is the rest of this season. By the time he got to the end of the season, Dave Smith went to John Brady and said, mate, can you stay? Because he said, I realise now your worth, and I realise that you are a genuine good person, and you're honest. And so, and Brady said, and Brady had already had another job to go to. He said, I can't do that. And then he moved on. And Dave Smith said to me at the time, I'm really sorry, and I realise I shouldn't have done that. And he did that with a few other people as well. And that's the problem the game's got, that there's not enough people within the game who know who's who. And it's a very insular community in that way. You've got to know people's agendas and where they're coming from.
It can be Paul, a real...
Yeah, sorry. Matty John said something the other day, and it was on, I think, our podcast at Fox or even on the show. There's people that hide in the long grass in rugby league, and then he mentioned John Quayle. To sit there, and even if he doesn't come in to the role as a CEO, but to be an advisor to Villanis and the new CEO to show him who is who in the zoo.
Great idea.
Yeah, oh, look, I you just need that. Yeah, and the NRL, when they began under that period, started making dud decisions. So the way to try and get over the dud decisions, they secretly hired all these consultants who were housed down at the entertainment quarters down there at Moore Park, and whose job was to basically do studies and surveys and try and get what the person was thinking. But they're all, you know, white shoes and ponytails. They weren't rugby league people.
Shoes and ponytails?
Well, you wouldn't know, Gordon. You wouldn't know.
Hey, I can grow a ponytail. That's anything I can.
The flying doormat.
Paul, who, at the end of the day, who rubber stamps the new CEO? Who has the final decision? Well, is it Peter?
It'll be the board. And right. Peter will, the, okay. The commission will make that decision, and Peter will be the person there that obviously drives that and steers it. He'll probably do most of the interviews. There may be some subcommittee formed. But I think he's genuine when he says he's going to sit down and he's going to take a look at what happens with Andrew Abdo and sees the job he does. And out of that, he'll then make a decision. So, yeah, Abdo's coming at a really good... If Abdo aspires for the CEO job, he's coming at a really good time. The game's in crisis, okay? So, George Bush, his approval rating went up to the 90s after 9/11. Times of crisis, if you're a leader... In a time of crisis, it can really improve your status. This is a real opportunity for Andrew Abdo, amid all this, to really prove himself as a person worthy of leading the game and being the person that Peter Villanis wants to lead the game and the commission wants to lead the game. So, I think it is a genuine offer. You've got 6 months here before the end of the season. Go and show what you can do. And that we've got that time to decide whether we stick with you or find someone else.
I agree with Gordon's sentiment about the fact that it's very difficult when you get somebody out of club, Liam, because clearly, there are going to be a whole lot of issues arise out of that scenario. But I do think in this instance, Gordy, because as we just discussed, you've got to know who's who in the zoo. You've got to know who's hiding in the long grass. You've got to know who's going to come in with the shark fin up and try and run a bit of a blindside play at times. You need to get somebody who has an understanding of all of that, which means that you are going to have to get somebody from within the game. I think the best candidate is the South boss, Blake Solly. He is saying at the moment that he doesn't want to do it. And obviously we respect that position, but perhaps he might be able to be persuaded into changing his mind. Well, he was over in the English Super League. He was the general manager.
He also worked in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Premier League.
I think Joe Kelly was Premier League.
He certainly worked in the English Super League. He was the general manager. And then he's been back at South Sydney as the CEO for a number of years now.
Always worked under Richo, has he?
In more recent years, I'd say more he was working alongside Richo rather than under Richo.
No, he was the CEO and Richo was the general manager of football. Richo was technically under him. Right. So, look, Blake Solly's a very competent administrator. Very competent. And if he wanted to put his hand up, I don't think there's a... He's got very, very sound financial background. He knows how to read a balance sheet. He knows the importance of that. South Sydney, let's remember, South Sydney, I know they're owned by... a billionaire and a Hollywood actor, but they are a side that has no poker machine, no lease club, and yet they still manage to remain profitable. So they are in many ways doing the right thing.
Don't one of the great things about Blake is, well, Kenty, I don't think he wants to be a celebrity. I don't think he wants to be in front of the television cameras all day, every day. I don't think he wants to be a politician and be trying to point score on, you know, issues that aren't specifically related to rugby league.
Well, he's a great human and we love him at South, so I think he's unavailable. Let me ask you this question.
No, but like if they're good at Clubland, Paul, is there a theory that you leave them there because they need help as well?
Well, Gordon, that's true. Yeah, that is a theory. Yeah. And you do that, but look, it's a very difficult situation. I don't envy them trying to find the right person, but you've got to really sort of take into account. There are a few people around it that could do the job. You've got to start looking a little bit left field sometimes. Blake Solly's a capable person. You don't necessarily want to take him out of Clubland because that just weakens South, doesn't it? But let's remember, all the great administrators, all up until, essentially until I think David Moffat, they were all ex-players. Mm. They're all,
Neil Whittaker, John Quayle.
All the way back.
Yep.
John Quayle played, people forget he was a player at one point, then went and ran East Leagues Club, did a great job there.
Yep.
And it was actually Nick Pelias, I think, got him in at the NRL. Nick just said, mate, they need help in there. You need to go and work in the NRL. And back then, it was the New South Wales Rugby League that ran the game. And they got him in there. And look at the history.
Who did Quayle play for?
Roosters.
And Parramatta. Mm.
Oh, wow. Hey, boys, let me just close off by asking you this question. You find the right guy. Let's just say he comes from – let's just say it's Blake, or let's say it's Andrew Abdo.
Well, the other one who there's a big push on, just before you go there, Anthony, is David Trodden from the New South Wales Rugby League as well.
So
plenty of people pushing his case.
In this time when we're talking about everybody taking a haircut, so I'm going to ask you, what do you pay this guy? What do you pay the CEO of the NRL? And don't dance around it. Give me a figure.
Well, I think you'd have to pay $700, wouldn't you, Kenty?
Oh, look, I'd pay more. I think you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. So I'm not against the boss of the game earning
good
Greenberg
money. Todd Greenberg was on 1.2.
Well, he was on 1.2. And to be fair, I had no problem with him earning that. I had a problem with him earning his bonuses because the game was getting smaller, yet somehow he was hitting his KPIs and earning bonuses. I thought that was disgraceful. I think if you're on 1.2, that's it. It's flat rate.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. If you get the right guy at 1.2 and he goes out and for every dollar you're paying him, he's making $10, go for your life.
Money well spent.
Wholeheartedly. Yeah. Good on you, boys. Saturday Sinbin is thanks to our mates at King G, Kenty Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Plenty to come, but let's just take the foot off the accelerator for a minute and have some fun. I'm going to take the boys to my Maroons pub trivia. Kenny's won the last 2 weeks in a row.
No, I didn't.
No, I won the first one.
Oh, did you win the first one?
Yeah. I got disqualified first.
Oh, that's right. You went.
Minus.
You're in the minus.
So, Gordy, you haven't had much success.
My buzzer
but
kept going off early.
Yeah. Story of your life. And, Gordy, you haven't won one yet, but your recipe saved you. And I believe we have another recipe today.
Gordy's one hasn't worked yet. So, have you answered one yet, Gordon, or not?
Yeah, I got a couple. I got Craig Smith, was it?
Still remember the question. Still remember the question.
No, Paul, and I knew a couple.
Grand final question.
All right.
Yeah, mate. Listen, they're not hard questions. It's Maroons trivia. We're not talking about Trivial Pursuit.
It's funny you say that because today we're going general knowledge.
Yeah.
As Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And good afternoon right across Australia as we commemorate Anzac Day here, the Saturday Sin Bin, thanks to our mates at King G, and so to Macca's, Ream Hot Water, Steady Hot and Strong, Install a Ream. It's time for this.
Welcome to Maroons Trivia Night.
Yes, well, we'll be back. We'll be back in the pubs and clubs soon as the COVID-19 situation calms down. I know that you trivia players of mine, you've been marching the streets. You've been marching the streets saying, when is Maroons trivia back? Well, don't worry, it'll be back.
Have they been obeying social distancing while they've been marching?
Well, they have. They've been marching 1.5 metres apart.
Which is good. They've been marching individually.
Yeah, they have. But it's good because it makes it look like there's more people there.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Where will you get back into straight away once the restrictions are lifted, Anthony?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, where will I go?
Yeah.
Well, look, I've got my Bankstown RSL is my main club. That's where I go every day and have dinner there and lunch there.
Do you?
But I've got
what have they got on the menu there?
Oh,
when that's
they've
open?
Got the Star Buffet there. Okay. I'll take you there. What do you feel like? Some pork spare ribs, some. Then we can have an ice cream, some sushi train. It's It's wonderful, wow. Eh? This, well, you can have a burger, whatever you want. Mm. Now, I've got a great price today, too. I've got the people from the Curly Whirly Bar. Curly Whirly Bar has sent me a stubby mitt. So you put your hand in it, and your hand's nice and warm.
Look at this thing.
And then you put your stubby in the cooler bit.
Wow.
So that's from Curly Whirly Bar. Wow. And then also the Curly Whirly Bar mask, COVID-19 mask with the Chico Roll print on it. Something a little bit different.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the prize today.
So whose desk did you take that off?
I got it posted to my place. It was posted to my place.
Someone there in marketing just got something taken off their desk.
No, they didn't. That's from Michael Curly Kovacs and all the team at the Curly Whirly Bar. So just send us in a little present so we can give it away every week. Boys, you've won one. Paul, you've won one. Hoops, you haven't won one yet. So the questions today are general knowledge. Your names are your buzzers. Let's go. It's question number one. Your name's your buzzer. First question. Apple sauce is usually served with what meat?
Hoops.
Booty.
Hoops.
Pork.
Pork is right. You're leading 1-0.
I went to answer the question. It's not saying my name. I had to stop.
Question number two. Your name is your buzzer. Question number two. Who phoned home in 1982?
Paul.
Paul.
E.T.
1-1. Right, next one. Here we go. You guys are going. You're going better than the general knowledge than you do with the NRL.
That says something.
Maybe you don't watch it. That's why.
Name's your buzzer again. Nice and clear. Tripoli is the capital of what country?
Paul.
Oh, it's got him.
Hoops. Lebanon.
Oh. Lebanon is wrong. So it's Libya.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, same thing.
I would have said Lebanon too.
Well, you didn't say it, so you're still leading 1-0. Gordon, you are yet to score.
Mm.
Here is the next question. Okay. Let's do this one. How many terms did Winston Churchill serve as Prime Minister? How many terms did Winston Churchill serve as...
Paul?
Two. Two is right! We're back to 1-1 here at Maroons Pub Trivia. All right.
It's riveting.
The next...
This is good radio.
Palms are sweating.
It is good radio. Who played James Bond in Octopussy?
Paul.
Paul.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore is right. 2-1. He only needs this one to win. He only needs this one to win. Here we go.
Can we check Gordy's buzzer?
Gordy, can we?
I don't know. Listen, I said Gordy for the first three, and I knew that I beat you guys.
Nonsense.
Maroons.
Nonsense.
You're obviously working on delay up there. Right? Must be in Queensland.
Well, we always work on delay up here.
according
to you guys.
Here is the next question. What were the name of the Blues Brothers?
Paul. Jake and Elroy.
Jake and Elroy.
Elwood.
We're back to one.
No, it's a technicality, mate. He's got you on a technicality.
Jake and Elwood. Let's throw in.
Put it on their fingers.
So now it's 1-1, and you're still on 0, Gordy. This one's for you. Yes. This is a good one for you, Gordy. Who played more games for Queensland? Not just Origin. Who played more games for Queensland? Wally Lewis or Mal Meninga?
Hoops.
Yes.
Yeah, Gordy. It's
Mal.
Mal is wrong.
What?
No.
No, Wally played six games more than Mal.
Oh, that question,
don't get your knickers in a knot because you got it wrong.
Wally played in the non-Origin days.
Yeah, you knucklehead.
In 81 and 82, there was only one Origin game and there was actually...
Yeah.
We should have told Peter...
80, 81, sorry.
We should have told Peter Volandis if he's looking for somebody, you'll be looking for a job at the end of the year if he can wait. Although I don't know how you'd go. Okay. Let's have another question. What's the score, by the way? Does anyone know?
Yeah,
1-1.
1-1?
1-1-1.
All right. Next one wins.
I've got 3 right, 2 wrong.
Next one wins. You blokes have ruined it this week.
Yeah.
Next one gets it right, wins. Here we go.
Elwood.
Ricotta comes from which country?
I don't food. Mate, seriously, get another question.
You want another one?
No, not food.
Yeah.
Italy.
Sorry, Paul.
Oh, we all know it's Italy.
Yeah,
it's
it's
a man show.
Okay. Oh, so you need a man question. It's funny from a bloke drives a Mustang.
celebrating like he's won the Grand Prix.
For the Waterloo.
You don't like the tail lights in the Mustang because that's all you see.
Have you ever heard the saying, no second prizes? Here we go. Is the next question. In what country is Deneroo Island?
Gordy.
Yes.
Fiji.
Oh, yes. Gordy.
Gordy's on the board. So, he's flying.
Hang on. I said next one wins.
There you go.
He won. Gordy. Well, Gordy, you've won the fantastic prize today. You've won the Curly Whirly
like
Bar.
Stubby Holder, Gordy.
Stubby Holder mitt and the coronavirus mask as well. Don't go away empty-handed. You too. Help yourself to a cup of coffee or a glass of water. We'll take a break and come back with the Car Wash King, Kevvy Walters, as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24-7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.